This is Lorne Greene. One of the things that most perceptive people on this earth are concerned about is shortages. Shortages of one kind or another, whether it be gas, grain, drinkable water, air to breathe, or whatever it is our planet is running out of. Our story concerns itself with one of the most valuable resources our planet has ever produced. People. It's a story that should be visualized with two distinct considerations in mind. One is a consideration for what has happened. The other, for what might happen again. If it is not already happening somewhere in the world to another group of people. People like Eno, the last man of his tribe. The sound of the town's dogs first alerted the people of Broachville to the fact that there was a stranger in their midst. It was a warm August morning in 1901.
What in tarnation are those curs yapping about?
Sheriff! Sheriff! Come quick! We got a wild Injun cornered down in Johnny Bob's corral.
What? An Injun, you say?
Yep. Looks like a real wild one.
The people of Broachville, California, had no way of knowing on that particular August morning in 1901 that they were about to become the historical backdrop for one of the most unusual events ever to happen on the face of the earth. They were to be the witnesses to the beginning of the end of the life of Eno, the last man of his kind. And that, unfortunately, is how we begin our story.
Mutual Radio Theater, a new adventure in radio listening. 5 nights of exceptional entertainment every week, brought to you in Elliot Lewis's production of the Mutual Radio Theater. Our story, Eno, the Last Man, by Odie Hawkins. Our star, Shepard Mencken.
The townspeople of Broachville had no real way of knowing or appreciating the idea that they were capturing and imprisoning the last member of a tribe, of a people. Eno was an Indian, an enemy from their recent past. Not a person to be approached with a tremendous sense of logic, care, or humanity.
Bless him. He might have a weapon.
That's not too likely, Clem, that he'd be able to do too much damage with ropes around every part of his body but his toes.
Well, you can't ever be too careful. No telling.
What I can tell from the look of him is that he's in need of a good meal.
Well, who is he? Where'd he come from?
One of them wildlings we've been seeing for years. Caught him down in Johnny Bob's corral, stealing horses.
Well, let's not be jumping to too many conclusions. All we've got to go on for now is that he was cornered down in the corral. Remember, this is still America where a man is assumed innocent until proven guilty.
Oh, come on now, Sheriff. What would an Indian be doing around a corral except to steal horses?
We don't have any evidence to back that up yet.
Well, what more evidence do you need? We caught him red-handed.
We didn't catch him doing nothing but trespassing.
Well, he looks guilty as sin to me. Look at his shifty eyes.
Hey, you can't tell nothing about a man from his eyes, Clem. Half the men in this town got shifty eyes.
I say we ought to have a trial right here and now and string them up.
Right.
Now, hold on. Hold on here. Just hold on. This town didn't elect me sheriff to preside over a kangaroo court in the streets. Now, either you want law or you want lynchings. If you want lynchings, you don't need me.
We don't want lynching, Sheriff. You know that. But we want to see justice done. Now, what are you going to do with him?
What am I going to do with him? Well, I'm going to place him under protective custody while I investigate the charges against him. Yes, that's what I'm going to do.
I sure hope your investigation proves what we've been telling you, Sheriff, about this fella being a horse thief and all.
My investigation will prove whatever it proves, and that'll be that. Now, let's break it up and go on about our business. Zeke, you stop over to Wild Biscuit Betty's and tell her to bring a dinner over to the jail. There. Hope you won't find that bunk too soft for you. The last guy we had in here complained it was too hard for him. Now then, it's just the two of us. You can level with me. What were you doing down in Johnny Bob's corral?
Tinka, noka ino.
Now look here, fella. Let's have an understanding. I saved you from a pretty bad time out there, and it wouldn't take too much for them bullies to...
Tinka bao sta kos koro.
Come in. We'll get back to this.
Howdy, Sheriff. Rushed over as soon as Zeke told me. This the guy? Looks like he could stand a good meal.
Well, I hope you didn't bring more than half a dozen of those rock-bellied biscuits. We'd hate to see this poor guy stuck to the floor.
Sticks and stones may break my bones, but jokes about my biscuits no longer hurt me. What tribe's he from? What's his handle?
He won't say. He keeps mumbling some kind of weird tongue noise out of...
Ever occur to you that he might not speak our lingo?
Or something to think about.
Meanwhile, let's see what he thinks of my vittles.
You better let me hand it in to him. There you go, bub. Plate of Wild Biscuit Betty's chicken and dumplings. Yeah, it smells pretty good, Betty. Think I'll trot over for a helping myself in a little while.
Now, that's what I call real enjoyment.
Nasca. Ulo. Nasca. Ulo.
Finally found somebody in town who doesn't joke about my grub. What do you make of him, Sheriff? Don't too much favor any of the Injuns I've been used to seeing.
He does seem like a different type, don't he? Why do you think his hair is cropped close like that?
You'll have to see Amos about that. He's in the barbering business. I'm in the restaurant business, which is missing me right now. Now, I'll see you later, Sheriff.
Yeah, I'll see you in a while. Now then, my friend, now that the wrinkles have been ironed out of your belly, let's palaver. Who are you? Where'd you come from?
Tinka, noka, ino.
I guess Betty's right about one thing. Looks like we're going to have to find someone who speaks your lingo.
Tinka, noka, ino. Ino!
The story of Eno, the last man, continues.
Well, what do you make of him, Sheriff?
I don't know what to make of him. We had Squawman Jones in here to try to palaver with him. Squawman Jones speaks just about every Injun lingo you can think of, and he got nowheres.
Can he speak it all? I ain't heard a peep out of him since you stuck him in that cell 5 days ago.
Boy, he can talk. Every morning at dawn, he says something loud and clear. Sounds like a prayer or something.
Well, what are you going to do about him? Clem and the boys are getting a mite touchy about their tax money being used to feed a horse thief.
Now, here we go again. I've told Clem and all the rest of them we ain't got no proof that this guy was trying to steal anything. So far, the only thing we can definitely prove is that he was trespassing.
Okay, he was trespassing. What are you going to do about it?
Well, I ain't decided yet. Give me another day to think on her.
Like I said, Sheriff, Clem and the boys...
Yeah. Okay, Clem and the boys. All ready, Toby. Now get. Well, they know about anything. Here we got a guy in the Hooska that I can't even get a confession from because he can't talk our lingo. We're going to have to do something about you pretty soon, my friend.
Something. Meanwhile... It's our time of day for a siesta.
I sit here, and my heart hurts with the many memories that wash through me. I cannot yet speak in their tongue, but in my own tongue, I think of the happy times when there was fish to catch in the streams, deer to be killed for their sweet meat, rabbits, food of the forest, gifts from the great mystery, and then gradually less and less of everything, fewer people every year, no children born, no new blood. How did it come to that? How did I come to be the last man of my nation?
Sheriff? Wake up, you got visitors.
Oh, Dad, blasted. Man can't even get a little snooze in the heat of the day without somebody bothering him.
Open up, we know you're in there. Sorry to wake you up, Sheriff, but these two strangers expressed a real great interest in seeing our captive wild man.
Sorry to disturb you, Sheriff. My name is Dr. Jonathan Martin. This is my wife, Nan.
How do you do?
Pleased to meet you folks. What can I do for you?
I told you, they want to see our wild man.
Let me explain, Sheriff. I'm an anthropologist.
A what?
An anthropologist.
Well, what in tarnation is an anthropologist?
An anthropologist is someone who studies man, his infinite variety, physical and cultural characteristics, customs, language, social relationships, especially of non-literate people.
Oh, so that's what an anthropologist is.
I'm proud to say that my husband is one of the best in the world in his field.
Oh, thank you, dear. That's very gracious of you to say so. Now, may we take a look at your wild man?
Well, sure, why not? What brings you folks through this neck of the woods?
We've been aiding Professor Evans over on the Snake River Reservation with a language classification project, and we found out that you had someone called a wild Injun in jail, and so here we are.
He is pretty wild-looking, ain't he?
Jonathan, do you think that...
I don't know. I don't know yet, but...
Don't know what?
Well, has anyone been able to converse with this man?
Well, Squaw Man Jones speaks just about every Injun tongue around, including a little French. He couldn't get through.
Eno?
Scott! Eno! Tinka noka Eno!
Well, I'll be. Will you look at that? He's actually smiling.
What'd you say to him? You find out what he was doing in Johnny Bob's corral.
Oh, no, hold on, Sheriff. I just said the only word I know in his language, which hardly qualifies me to ask a lot of questions.
Jonathan, is he a Yana?
I can't say yet, but we'll have to
determine... Is he a what? What are you folks talking about? Now, let's all shoot straight.
There's a strong possibility that the man you have in this cell may be the last of his kind.
I don't quite understand, ma'am. We got heaps of Injuns around here.
Not like this one, Sheriff, unless I'm badly mistaken.
I'm beginning to think I ought to get on back across the road to my restaurant. Bacon biscuits is what I understand best.
Well, maybe I can clear this up without becoming too technical. Well, let's say that we were in Europe. All the people are Europeans, French, Germans, Dutch, Danish, etc., etc. And everyone in the French branch of the family died. Now, all except for one Frenchman. This man, I think, is a Yana, the last Frenchman, as it were.
Well, mercy be to heaven.
Now, I'm not certain yet. We'll have to investigate.
What did you say to him?
The only word I knew of his language, man, Eno.
Tinkanoka Eno. Eno.
There are not many people in the world who find themselves forced to cope with the unimaginable. But then there are not many people in the world like Eno.
Jonathan.
Yes, dear?
I hate to disturb your work, but I simply must talk to you. It's about Eno.
Oh? What about him?
I hardly know how to put it into words. The incredible loneliness I feel that I think he feels ever since we brought him here to live with us. I mean, there are times when I think we should have simply bailed him out of that jail cell and released him to the mountains.
Now, we're not holding Eno captive, my dear. Now, remember, he came with us voluntarily. Now, I understand how you feel, and I have that feeling, too, from time to time.
You do?
Well, certainly. But I find it necessary to put it aside and to look at the brighter side. I mean, here with us, he has companionship, friends. In the forest, he would have been alone, completely alone, and he would probably have died alone.
I know what you're saying is true, but still...
Oh, no. One has to feel deeply for someone who stepped out of one life into another alone.
My people wanted only to be left alone, to live the life we knew best, in harmony with all things and the great mystery. But that was not to be. We did not want to leave the mountains, the places where our ancestors' bones rested. And so, over a period of time, we were surrounded by people of the white tribe and forced to move higher up in the mountains to avoid contact. We, Yana, were never too many. And in a few moons, we became fewer, always fewer. Food was scarce. We lived like coyotes and wolves for years. One day, under the stress of hunger, one of our young men killed one of the white tribe's animals, the big horned beast, with the udders. We feasted for days, and when the feasting was done, we had to move higher into the mountains because the white tribe came after us with fire sticks.
Over there. Think I got one.
Dirty varmint, stealing cattle.
Some of us were killed by the fire sticks. Some of us were killed by the animals.
Run, run, it's a she-bear and her cubs.
The great mystery took some of us away. The great mystery took my wife, Suna, from me.
I am going. I am going. I can already see behind the beyond. I have tried to be all that I could be to you, living as we live.
And you have been all things to me.
But I did not give you signs. If only we had had children.
I buried 5 other people of my nation before I buried my wife. And later, 5 others. And finally, suddenly, I was alone. Alone. No words in any tongue can ever tell the story of my loneliness. We Yana have always been a family people, and now there was no family. No one to talk with, share experiences with. I wandered the mountains for 3 moons, searching for another Yana.
Amos, you see that?
Just a flash. What was it?
I ain't sure, but it looked like a man.
Think you better stay away from the corn. What kind of man could be living up here in all this snow?
Yeah, I guess you got a point there. Well, come on, let's check out the rest of these traps. It'll be stark raven dark in another couple of hours.
After 3 snows, my loneliness became so great, I decided to go down the mountain into the white tribe's village. I knew they might kill me, but I did not care. I felt they would be doing me a good deed. The great mystery would not allow me to kill myself. I cropped my hair with a flint knife, smeared ashes on my face, and in the custom of our people, walked down the mountain, singing my death song.
Nan? Nan?
Calm down, dear. What is it?
We're beginning to make headway, Eno and I. We understand each other. And he's beginning to reveal things to me this morning. Very casually, with words and gestures, he began to give me the Yana First People legend. Well, it seems that in the beginning, according to their creation legend, two arrows were shot from a bow by the Great Mystery. And as they fell to earth, they were separated. The arrows became lonely, and they began to look for each other. And then
when they found each other, they were so overjoyed, they asked that the Great Mystery send more arrows.
How did you...
He spoke to me about it yesterday.
Oh, I see.
Oh, don't be angry, dear. He just seems to feel that I'll understand some things better than you.
It's incredible sometimes. I think the man must be some sort of genius. I mean, can you imagine how it would be if we suddenly found ourselves forced to live where he was, where he came from?
No, I don't think I'd be too successful. But let's face it, he hasn't quite gotten the hang of things in San Francisco either. I took him grocery shopping with me yesterday. Did I tell you about that?
So many people. So many tribes. Maybe if I look closely, I might discover a Yana. No, that would not be possible here. There are too many people. And besides, no Yana would live in this manner.
What do you think of the coconuts, Eno?
Coconuts?
Oh, you don't know what a coconut is, do you? Here, we'll buy one.
So much meat. So many different kinds. Behind a clear wall.
You know, you look puzzled. You're probably trying to figure out how it got behind that glass and who killed that meat.
Yes.
Well, let me assure you, it's a pretty involved process.
I've discovered that he thinks glue and matches are two of the greatest inventions in the world and has no problems with either one. But have you watched him try to deal with the window shades? He just can't seem to get the knack of it.
And how peaches get into cans. You know something, dear? I found myself trying to puzzle out quite a few things I used to take for granted. How do peaches get into a can?
How do peaches get into cans?
Uh-huh.
Well, it's quite a process. Too complicated to explain.
I see.
Nan, are you coming to the demonstration tomorrow?
To see how a fire is made with sticks and birds are talked into a cage? I wouldn't miss it for the world.
How kind the bookman and his wife are to these strangers. They explain things to them that I cannot explain.
As you can see, ladies and gentlemen, the making of fire is an extremely arduous task.
They are like gifts from the Great Mystery, these two. I think, if it were not for them, I would not be alive.
There, as you can see, ladies, you have a nice little fire to cook with.
Oh,
it is interesting to see how these people see things. I wonder how they made fire before they had the little sticks that light up.
What is love?
Yes. What love?
Do you want to answer that, dear?
Oh, I'm afraid I popped in a bit late in the conversation. What is he asking?
From out of the blue, our friend here asked, wife of the bookman, what is love? How would you answer that?
Well, it depends on what kind of love we're talking about. You know, what kind of love did you have in mind?
Love.
Oh, you mean the big kind.
Love.
You know, love means that people care for and respect each other.
Eno, love you.
And we love you too, Eno.
Yes. We love you too. Very much.
Well, how is he?
If my expert diagnosis is correct, I think he'll live.
What's the problem? Should we call Doc Larson?
I hardly think a hangover warrants calling a doctor.
A hangover?
The signs are unmistakable.
But how? I mean,
I'm pretty
what?
Certain he got the idea from watching you sip your after-work sherry.
Welcome to civilization, you know?
I felt very strange after drinking 4 glasses of the Bookman's special water. It was as though my head was being drummed and my stomach was full of wrestling snakes. I felt I needed something. I needed help from the great mystery.
Jonathan. Jonathan Eno's gone.
Gone? Where?
I don't know. I took a tray of fruit to his room knowing that he wouldn't feel like sitting at the dining room table, and he's gone.
Oh, my Lord. In the middle of San Francisco at 8 o'clock on Saturday night. And there's no telling what might happen to him. Let me get my coach. We'll look for him.
I hope nothing happens to him.
Lorne Greene again. And here's the fourth act of Eno, the Last Man.
Well, don't you stand out there peeking in. The doors swing in and out. Come on in. My goodness, you certainly got a beautiful head of hair. Wish mine would grow that long. Well, maybe if I stop bleaching. Oh, well, how about buying a girl a drink? Where are you from?
I am Eno. Yana people.
Long way from home, huh?
How about a couple of fingers of red eye, stranger?
Couple fingers red eye?
That'll be just dandy. Mm-hmm.
There you go, folks. That'll be 4 bits.
Pay the man, honey.
I've no money.
Hey, what's with this guy, Maisie? Is some kind of joke? He orders 2 fingers of my best rye whiskey and says he got no money to pay.
I'm not order.
Is this your idea? Some kind of joke? Going around asking for drinks and not paying for them?
Not ask. She asked.
Well, I beg your pardon.
Hey, Bruno. Come over here and throw this long-haired bum out of here.
Oh, and I hope I never see you again. Nothing in the world I hate worse than a deadbeat.
Eno, where have you been? We've been looking everywhere for him.
Oh, my goodness. He has blood on his shirt.
Here, help me get him inside.
How is he?
Sleeping. Doc Larson sewed his scalp up and gave him some medicine to put him to sleep. He'll be all right.
Good. Would you like a cup of tea?
Yes, a cup of tea will be most welcome.
Jonathan.
Yes, dear? What is it?
We must do something for Eno.
Do something? I don't quite understand.
Oh, I've been thinking about it for the last year that he's been with us. You've studied his language. I've learned how to sew with the whiskers from a catfish. You've taken him to the museum to have him demonstrate his way of fire making, his way of making a strong bow. We, all of us, have taken his life apart and placed it under a microscope because he is such an exotic human being. The last one of his kind. Why did he run away?
He didn't run away. He was ill in a way that was unusual to him, and so he went to seek help from what his people call, or from what his people used to call, the great mystery.
And he returns with a gash in his head that requires 10 stitches to close. Now, that's what I mean by the unfairness of it all. It just seems like such an unfair exchange. He explains the meaning of the turning of the leaves in autumn. How to use certain herbs to cure stomach aches and relieve high blood pressure. In return, we give him a gash in the head.
Oh, it isn't right to put matters in such a one-dimensional light, Nan. I'm surprised at you. Well, of course there are a lot of things wrong with our civilization, but there's also a good deal to be proud of. I mean, have you ever watched Eno explain how cold he was up in the mountains when it wasn't possible to make a fire? I'm sure he would have given anything for a wood-burning stove or a couple of boxes of matches.
I know. I do know, Jonathan. I just get so frustrated sometimes thinking about the number of things we can't share with him. And he can't share with us.
Be specific.
Oh, you and your scientific mind. All I can think about is the difference between us, this Stone Age man and ourselves.
I thought you were going to be specific, and I fail to see what...
Can't you see? We're giving him an imitation of everything that he's always had naturally. Ever since we first met Eno, we have asked him to come into our world, to understand it, to be a part of it. Why don't we offer him the opportunity to take us into his world?
That's a very good idea. Well, why didn't I think of that? Nan, my dear, you are a genius.
No, darling. Just a woman. Just a woman.
Well, I'll be hornswoggled.
If it ain't the wild man, all duty lapinore.
Howdy, Dr. Martin, Ms. Martin. What brings you folks back this way? How long's it been?
2 years, Sheriff. Almost 2 years.
Hey! It's the wild man.
I am not wild. I was never wild.
You hear that? He speaks our lingo now.
Well, dog my cat, so he does.
How you been, bub? How's life in the big city?
Now, hold it down, hold it down. Let's give the doc a chance to talk. Now, Aaron, what brings you and the wild man
His
here?
His name is Eno, Sheriff.
Oh, yeah, sure enough. Well, what are you folks doing around here this time?
Well, we're trying a little experiment, Sheriff. We've decided to offer Eno a chance to give us a taste of what his life was like up in the mountains.
Up in the mountains?
Well, up in the mountains, down in the valley, wherever. I know you folks must have stirred up a right sharp appetite getting here. Come on over to the restaurant. I'm dishing up son-of-a-gun stew today. And fresh biscuits made from scratch.
Oh, no.
Nazca. Ulo. Nazca. Ulo.
How's that, Eno? What'd you say?
I said, it is good. It is good.
You know something? That's one of the first things I noticed about you right after we met. Your serious appreciation for the finer things in life.
You know, I never would have believed it, not in all my born days, that one human being could have gone through so much and come out whole.
Says a great deal for the power of the human spirit, doesn't it?
Indeed it does.
I hate to be the one to call this delightful evening to an end, but we should be seeking accommodations in order to start out fresh early tomorrow.
Don't need to go no further than upstairs, Dr. Martin. Didn't you notice? Wild Biscuit Betty's restaurant and boarding house is what that washed-out sign says.
Hope your beds are not as hard as your biscuits.
Guess I'll just have to go along with that comment coming from someone who just ate half a dozen of them.
How strange it is. I stand here at this window, looking up at the places I used to look down from. Once I was out there, alone. Now I am inside, with people who love me. The bookman and his wife want to know something of the life I had, the life my people had. What can I show them? Can I show them the caves we starved in? The places where we huddled close together, trying to keep warm without fire, where we were afraid. How can I explain the feeling we Yana people had for each other, the warm looks we had for those who were good hunters and fishermen? No, I cannot explain that. It cannot be explained. I must not stay with the sad things. The sad things would make us unhappy. I will take them to the mountains, into my old home, and explain as much as I can of what the great mystery revealed to the Yana. So many beautiful, good things. The glow of the sun at the end of the day and at the beginning. The taste of honey after the bees have been smoked out of their home. the love songs of the birds. The way the deer step through the forest, each tiny foot placed just so. The taste of trout, fresh from the stream. There is much that I can show them, much I can teach them about my home. I will show the bookman's wife which greens are good for the cooking and where to find the right herbs for tea and medicines. I will make two bows and some arrows and show the bookman how to stalk the deer and rabbits. I will teach them everything I can. But above all, I will teach them to be careful of all humans on the earth. All humans of all colors and kinds. I felt myself to be part of some strange dream when the bookman and his wife brought me back to Yana Land. I never thought that I would see those mountains and smell the good, clean air again. During the time of the moon that we spent in my home, I took long walks alone at night while they were sleeping to visit the graves of my people and my wife. I did not take the bookman and his wife to the resting places of my ancestors because it would not have been right. The elders were not alive to give their permission. Even though I could not explain everything I wanted to explain to the bookman, I think I gave him at least two hands' worth of understanding of how the Yana once lived. I feel certain that I made them understand how precious all life is.
Oh, Jonathan.
Now, love, dear, don't cry. He's become a part of his great mystery.
Dr. Martin, I hate to have to ask you questions at a moment like this, but, well, you know how it is. Should we list you and Mrs. Martin as the next of kin in his obituary? And could you please give me the correct spelling of his name, sir?
We called him Eno, E-N-O, meaning man in the Yana language, because his tribal taboos prohibited him from saying his own name. Next of kin... No, don't list us. You may say that we had no next of kin. No kin at all.
This story, or a facsimile of it, may have happened, or it may be happening somewhere in our world this year, today. Mutual Radio Theater is brought to you 5 nights a week at this time. Tonight's original radio play, Eno, the Last Man, was written by Odie Hawkins and produced and directed by Fletcher Markle. Your host was Lorne Green. Our star was Shepard Mencken. Featured in the cast were Barney Phillips, Virginia Gregg, Larry Moss, Helene Winston, Don Diamond, and Ed McNamara. John Harlan speaking. The Elliott Lewis production of Mutual Radio Theater is a presentation of CBI. Mutual Radio Theater has been brought to you in part by Serta Perfect Sleeper Mattresses and Foundations, with the top comfort and deep support for firmness that feels good.
and that's a healthy investment in yourself. And by the Singer Store, where right now you can save $150 off regular price on one of the world's easiest-to-use sewing machines.
This is Andy Griffin. Tomorrow at this same time, our story is earmarked for comedy. Just try not to laugh. I tell you something, I can't.